From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Is the minimum wage too low? Should it go up to, say, $15 an hour? Here's what some of you told us in response to this question earlier today.
I would support a minimum wage of $15 an hour. I actually think the minimum wage needs to be more than $15 an hour, but $15 is a good starting point. Cost of living in the Pacific Northwest and really most of the United States requires a living wage.
I would not support a mandatory $15 an hour wage because I used to have a small business, and I know how much it costs to have employees, and at prices of everything, it's just going to go up. I mean, we can't suck it up.
I do support a higher minimum wage. I think $12 in Seattle would be fair. $15, I think, is doesn't give people incentive to get the education that they should have.
I think just out of, you know, for humanitarian reasons, but also selfish reasons, we should definitely raise the minimum wage. This puts some money on the ground for people that will actually spend it. They won't just spend it. They're desperate for it.
I think it'd be completely silly to raise the minimum wage to $15. Unskilled workers aren't worth that much.
What do you think? 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Venture capitalist Nick Hanauer thinks we should increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Socialist candidate for Seattle City Council, Kishama Sawant, is calling for a minimum wage of $21.72 an hour. But what's really happening here is that workers at SeaTac Airport have filed a voter initiative to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour for SeaTac employees, as well as transportation and hospitality workers in the city of SeaTac. Well, Chris Smith fuels aircraft at SeaTac Airport. He makes $10 an hour. He says it's a constant struggle to support three kids on minimum wage.
But cutbacks are the main thing I've had to deal with. I have to get my car fixed this week, but I don't know if I can pay for that. I sometimes just don't eat. The kids have even learned not even go on school field trips.
Chris told us that if he was making just a little bit more, he could take care of some of the basic things.
Pay my bills on time. Make sure that my rent is taken care of. I might even be able to go ahead and get some standard things that are needed, like school is going to be starting up in a couple of months. I can actually get back to school items for the kids.
Now, Alaska Airlines and the Washington Restaurant Association have filed a lawsuit to block the $15 minimum wage initiative in SeaTac to keep it from going to voters. The King County Superior Court will hear Alaska Airlines' request tomorrow. The SeaTac workers are pretty confident that will be dismissed. I talked to Seattle mayoral candidate Peter Steinbrück yesterday about raising the minimum wage here. He said that raising it to $15 an hour would force employers out of the city.
I think we can work to incrementally increase minimum wage, but I don't think it's too drastic to jump from what it is now to $15 an hour. It would have ripple effects and repercussions that would potentially be very harmful to a lot of people. So, but I certainly support the goal of livable wages for all and bringing up those low-wage and part-time workers' earnings.
Well, what's your perspective on this? A $15 minimum wage? Washington currently has the highest minimum wage in the country, $9.19, but is it enough to get by? Should it go to $15 an hour? 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation at kuow.org. Is that even a livable wage if it were $15? A recent economic survey showed that a two-parent, one-child family would need more than $62,000 a year to make a modest living in the Seattle-Bellevue area. Now, if you worked a 40-hour week for 52 weeks at $15 an hour, you'd make half that, $32,000 a year. What do you think about raising the minimum wage to $15? 206-543-5869. Maybe you're not sure what to think. Well, helping clarify for us is Felix Salmon. He writes a blog for Reuters where he analyzes economic and occasionally social issues, and we asked him to help us parse the issues. Felix, thank you so much for talking to us today and explaining this for us.
Pleasure.
First of all, do a large percentage of workers in America make the minimum wage?
It's more than you might think because these things, you know, there's competition for workers. But yes, I mean, you find minimum wage happening, especially in, you know, the hospitality industry and service industry and among employers who basically want to pay their workers so little that the government ends up picking up the slack and paying those workers a lot of their wages in the form of welfare.
Felix, help boil this down for us. What are the best three reasons for raising the minimum wage, say, to $15 an hour? And what are the three best reasons for not taking that move?
Well, I mean, so this point about the government is the first one, that it could actually save the government a significant amount of money because it would bring a large number of workers out of the, you know, off the welfare rolls, essentially. And it would mean that the people would have to get paid by their employers, which makes sense, rather than getting paid by a combination of their employer and the government. So it's fiscally sensible. It reduces the amount that the government has to pay. The second big reason is that it's a huge economic stimulus, that if you pay people who are relatively poor, who aren't earning so much, those people will go out and spend all of that money immediately in the economy, and so you get a multi-billion dollar economic boost from from injecting all of this money into the economy, much more than you do from just keeping it in the coffers of large corporations, because corporations have loads of cash and they're not spending it. If we want an economic stimulus, then what you want to do is get that cash to the workers, because the workers, especially the minimum wage workers, are much more likely to spend it. And then, you know, it's I think common human decency is the main other third reason, that people, as you say, should be paid a living wage. You can't actually live as a grown-up these days on less than $15 an hour, and we shouldn't be asking people to do that.
Now, you've commented in favor of this idea, but you also can see the other side of it. What do you think are the three best reasons for not raising the minimum wage? What are the reasons that really make sense to you to argue against this?
Okay, so the arguments against it aren't as good, but so one of your callers already said that it might be bad for small businesses who aren't, aren't sitting on large amounts of cash, and who might not be able to make their, you know, numbers work if they have to start paying their employees more. And then another one of your callers also made the point that what we're talking about here in large part is unskilled labor, and it's not clear that unskilled labor in a sort of free market is actually worth $15 an hour. You can legislate that and force people to pay that, but basically what you're doing at that point is you're forcing people to pay too much in terms of market value, above market value, for unskilled labor, and that doesn't, and that causes all manner of inefficiencies in what is meant to be a free market system. And then I guess the third reason, you know, if I had to come up with another one, would just be that you don't want government interfering with private contracts, and that consenting adults should be able to consent to sell their labor for whatever the market clearing rate is, rather than the government sticking its oar in and forcing people to up their wages.
Felix, it seems like this shouldn't be a topic for debate. Why don't we have a definitive answer to the question of the impact of raising the minimum wage? There are places like Washington State that have a higher minimum wage and other places that have a lower minimum wage. Are all things not equal when you compare states like that? Is it harder than it looks to get an answer to the question about whether raising the minimum wage is good or bad?
Well, there's two answers to that question. The first answer is that it actually makes sense for different states and different regions to have slightly different minimum wages, just because the cost of living differs so greatly from state to state and from region to region, that it's a lot more expensive to live in Seattle than it is to live in North Carolina, say. So that's one thing. The other thing is that the minimum wage is pretty low right now by historical standards. And although there's quite a lot of economic research on the question of, you know, the effects of raising the minimum wage on unemployment and things like that, that, you know, realistically, at these kind of levels, the effect on unemployment is tiny. So once you start having debates about should it be 9 or 10 or 11 or 12 or 15, then it's very difficult. Economics is not a very scientific science at the best of times, and when you start talking about just a buck or two here or there, economics is not going to be particularly helpful.
Felix, is the minimum wage a useful concept anymore? A lot of people talk about we really need to think of a livable wage. What's it takes to actually get by rather than this artificial basement for wages? What do you think?
Well, it's kind of the same thing. I think the idea of the minimum wage is that no one who's working full time should be in a position where they just can't live on what they're earning. And so you set the minimum wage at a point, at such a point that you should be able to live on it, that it's not such a huge difference between the two. And the other thing is that what we've seen over the past 50 years is a massive diminution in the power of the unions. So it used to be that people had collective bargaining and that they could get together, as we're seeing at SeaTac and other places right now, and say, listen, you know, we workers want a certain livable wage, minimum wage for all of us. And then employers dealing with the unions would negotiate that. But as the power of the unions has diminished, as you know, the workforce is fragmented, that isn't so possible anymore. And so there's more need for the government to step in and kind of act in much the same role as the unions would have acted in maybe 40 or 50 years ago.
Felix Salmon, this has been very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Felix Salmon, you can read him at Reuters, where his blog analyzes economic and social issues. The issue we're talking about today is, should there be a minimum wage of $15 an hour in Seattle, elsewhere? We know now that some SeaTac workers are trying to get that on the ballot in SeaTac. We don't know if they will or not. But what do you think? Is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? We've got Terry on the line calling us today from Bothell, and she knows what she thinks. Terry, you're getting it.
Oh, well, you know, I own a restaurant, and I don't think you have the perspective of from a restauranteur. And I heard you mention that the Washington Restaurant Association was filing a lawsuit, and I understand. We pay our front-of-house staff, which is, you know, hosts, servers, whatnot, minimum wage, but they actually make generally $20 to $25 an hour in tips. So we have servers who are also untrained, only need a GRE, and they're making $50,000 to $60,000 a year. Should we need to put that to $15 an hour? I would say most restaurants would raise their prices by 30%. It just, we wouldn't be able to handle it. I think restaurant chains would leave this state. What we were looking for is what's called a tip credit. And basically workers who make most of their wages from tips have an actual set minimum wage that is lower than the both the federal and the state minimum wage.
Makes sense to me, Terry. I'd like to hear from other people who work in the restaurant business to hear if they agree with you. But what about people who don't get tips in their job? There are a lot of jobs where you don't get gratuities. Do you think it makes sense to raise those people's wages, their minimum wages?
Absolutely. I do. I totally agree with that. It's just in this particular industry, we have basically the servers that make more money than folks who spend, you know, the $100,000 to go to college.
Hey, Terry, thanks for sharing that with us. Very helpful. I appreciate it. Let's go to Omar next. He's listening to us today in Kent. If you just joined us, we're talking about raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Terry likes the idea, but not in her sector, not in the restaurant business where people are able to collect gratuities. Now, maybe the restaurant that she owns, people are able to make that kind of money on tips. Not all restaurants have that kind of upside to them for people who work in the service industry. Maybe you work there. What do you think about that? Should there be some kind of differentiation in areas where people are making money off of tips? Let's go to Omar to find out what he thinks. I understand that you agree with this idea of having a $15 an hour minimum wage, Omar. Is that right?
Good afternoon. One of the things I mentioned earlier, thank you for having me on the show, it is the people that raising the minimum wage, they should live a minimum of 3 to 6 months living just on minimum wage to see what is to be. It's very easy for people to say, we cannot afford that. Now, regard to your last person that was a restaurant.
You know, you're dropping out, Omar, but if I hear you correctly, you're saying we should try it out for a few months. And let's see if the phone line is not clicking out. We're losing every other word. But you're saying you want to respond to the woman who, Terry, who works in the restaurant business and said in her sector there shouldn't be a higher minimum wage because people are able to make money through tips and things. What do you think about that?
I worked as a server for 14 years, and one of the things with tip credit, the way that the Restaurant Association presents it, it is very nicely, but basically what they want is the workers to subsidize the owners and employers. Now, as a server, you live out of your tips because you don't work 40 hours a week. You have expenses, you have to pay taxes. Actually, you have to report every single penny that you make to the IRS, and you have to pay taxes on that. So, she says that they need to raise their prices about 30%. I don't know what she's doing in business, because a good restaurant, your cost should be no higher than 29 to 31% of your cost. The rest is profit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the politicians, if they're against minimum wage, have them live on minimum wage and live and be in the shoes what many millions of people are experiencing in our country right now. And that's one of the things that is very easy for us that we're doing well to say, oh, no, they don't deserve that. That's going to kill jobs. Not on the contrary. Think about it. The more people make, the more they're going to spend, the more they're going to be generating on the economy. And also one thing that a lot of people, and it's very easy for people to say that they're against taxes, that increases our tax revenue. Because all the jobs that have been outsourced, the only people that have made the profits there have been the companies. Everybody else will have to be paying the burden
right
for the companies that have sent the jobs overseas, because that tax revenue is not coming in.
Right. So, that's kind of a variation on what we heard a little bit earlier from Felix Salmon, who talked about the public benefits for this, talking about saving the government money because people the government wouldn't need to spend so much money on basic services to people who fall beneath the cracks. Omar, thanks a lot for making your points and making them so well. Let's go down to SeaTac. That's the city where this is being discussed and where they're trying to get it on the ballot. We've got Ralph on the line, and Ralph knows that he's not going to be signing that petition if it gets out there. Why not, Ralph?
Two or three reasons. Number one, it's just a horrible economy-killing idea. Not only would it impact large businesses who are directly affected, it would devastate small businesses. It would devastate, or it would put a number, how many we don't know, but it would definitely put some of these employees out of work. And if another thing, in terms of if it sounds to be too good to be true, it probably is there is no accounting in any of this for the economic reality that if you raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour, there will be an inflationary impact that in short order will offset the raise. The only way to avoid that would be price controls. That would be more government interference in a free market economy that is already overregulated. One of the major problems is the proponents refer to poverty wages. That is an emotional term. It is an inaccurate term. And we are talking about removing the historic ladder, beginning at entry-level jobs that pay an entry-level wage and move up. As far as SeaTac itself goes, SeaTac would lose businesses. SeaTac would lose tax revenue. The impact would devastate the city, and the unions outside the city that are pushing this would go on unaffected.
So the idea, you're creating a differential here in one city surrounded by other cities, and it would put that city at a disadvantage.
Yes.
Good point. Ralph, thanks a lot for your call. Robert's calling us today from West Seattle. He's in favor of this idea of having a higher minimum wage, maybe taking up to $15. Robert, thanks so much for calling us today. Why do you think this is a good idea? Maybe you could even respond to some of what we just heard from other callers.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. Just to respond to the restaurant owner, the solution to that is, I mean, why she's jealous of her workers making money, I have no idea. But the solution to that is just don't let your employees accept tips, because there's no reason why the customer should be subsidizing the employer's responsibility to pay a fair wage to their employees. So stop letting your employees collect tips. Pay them a decent wage. Pay them $20 an hour. And do something that's fair and right for them.
Robert, we're gonna have to end the conversation here, but a good point. And one notices when you travel, there are a lot of countries where you don't pay any tips or you pay very small tips. Now, is that because in those countries the service workers are making a higher wage? Maybe that's for another show. You're listening to KUOW 94.9 Seattle. If you want to continue the conversation, go to our Facebook page, KUOW's The Conversation, and add your two bits.